and welcome to another episode of I've Never Seen the OC. We are on Season 4, Episode 12, The Groundhog Day. Hello and welcome to another episode of I've Never Seen the OC. We are on Season 4, Episode 12, The Groundhog Day. Into this week's episode, we are doing a little trigger warning here because we will be talking this week about fertility and fertility issues. We're also going to be chatting a bit about mental health and obsessive behaviour. So if that is not your bag this week, Jane, what episode should they go and listen to? Don't save any day moment. I can't always say that episode.
I fell out with the rain right now, but we'll get into that in a minute. I think he'd go back to, maybe take it right back to like the Snow Sea or something.
The Snow Sea, yes. A classic.
Yeah.
A classic. We have a lot to talk about this week.
We do. Lots and lots and lots.
Burning question.
Yeah.
Did you walk about in the grass, in your bare feet? Did you do any grounding on your holly bobs?
Right. I did contemplate this because I thought we're going to this really nice little chalet out in the middle of nowhere. Didn't even see anyone the whole time. Like, there was a big house.
My joy.
I did think, I could take like some flip-flops and then maybe I could like, there's a little table outside and I could sit and have a cup of tea in the morning and then maybe I could like dip my toe in the grass or something. But no, it was fucking miserable to the extent that, the only grounding I got was... My phone like got waterlogged and broken and I couldn't get in touch with the outside world. So yeah, that's it.
It's one way to go off grid. I'll give you that.
Yeah. You know, I thought it was been so, we went out for dinner and we had to walk to like the nearest village and walk home in pitch black, which was pretty terrifying. And I didn't even take my phone out for dinner. And then the next day I thought I'll take it with me because I didn't want to take my film camera out in the rain. So I thought I could take a few snaps on the iPhone on this scenic walk. Got the wettest I've ever got in my entire life. Like I had one of those like Sturheim raincoats on. There was puddles in the pocket.
Oh my God, mate. Yeah.
So aye, that was me, phoneless.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for your loss. I'm sorry for your suffering.
Heather, you know, it's, I'm a Gemini, like I pure adapt. So I'm like totally fine. Totally fine. I guess the Scorpio moon was crossing the Virgo ocean or whatever and it just wasn't my day. So yeah. Again, listeners
Stop
are dropping.
Well, if you have never listened to us before, over there is Jane when she's not
a Gemini
rising with waterlogged phones. She has seen the OC and she bloody loves it.
I do. And over here we have Heather who has... So, you need to be careful here because you've basically seen...
I've almost seen all of it.
Yeah.
But almost to this point, I can still confidently say I have never seen all of the OC.
You've never seen the OC in its entirety.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. A little birdie's told me there's a little birthday.
Oh, that's yeah, I do. A little birthday shout out to Fiona. She's going to kill me for this. But yeah, it's my sis-in-law's... birthday or 30th birthday next week.
Birthday. 30, God.
Yeah,
I
know.
30.
Me too.
Life starts at 30, mate. You're going to be great.
It does. It's like your 20s with money, kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it's her birthday. So just to wish her a happy birthday. She has committed to watching all of the OC and listening to all of our podcasts and from season one right through. So yeah, happy birthday Fiona. And she also said that confided when we were slightly drunk at the weekend that like if we were not still doing this podcast she would not still be listening because it's getting fucking ridiculous.
She wouldn't still be watching.
Yeah,
I very much appreciate that dedication. I kind of feel in the same boat. I was thinking about it the other day when I was watching this and I was like, would I be so keen to hit the next episode if I wasn't in the back of my mind thinking we've got loads to talk about in this episode, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm, one ponders. Mm. Did you watch right till the end the first time you watched it?
Yeah. Yeah, I was obsessed.
Hardcore.
Yeah. Even after Misha Barton? So she was, yeah. But I got, I was quite Taylor Townsend obsessed. I liked.
Okay. So was there any point the first time you watched it that you thought, this is stupid, or is this just an adult thing looking back that we're like, this is stupid?
No, I mean, probably, but again, a lot of that kind of TV you watched at that age, and even now, sometimes you just watch stuff that's absolutely bonkers. Like, are you watching You?
No, I need to catch up. I finished after season one, but I would like to go back and watch it's season nuts. Two and three. We talked about it with Sex Life. We were watching that, and I was like, it got to a point where I was like,
oh my God, I was obsessed with that. Yeah, and it was, yeah. And even then you didn't, oh. Yeah, but there's something comforting about it, especially at this time of year when you just want to be cozy, it's rubbish weather, and I also need... I feel that this would now be a thing that Steve and I generally have got a series or whatever we're watching, and about 9 o'clock or whatever at night we'll sit down and watch it. But then like the time between dinner time and then is his, he'll probably go on his PlayStation, and then I'll like potter or watch something myself, you know, although Stephen is. Sometimes I'll be like, I'm watching this, and he's like, that looks shit. And then he's like, oh, why don't you watch this with me? Because he's also a fan of
I know the
shit TV. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I hear you. I quite like watching stuff in the bath. I feel like we've talked about this before. Yeah. I find if I don't watch stuff in the bath, I just sit on Instagram, which I feel defeats the point of going for a bath.
I don't want to railroad us too much, but just in the subject of TV that's a bit mental to watch. Right, when you were younger, did you ever read The Babysitter's Club?
Yes.
Do you know there's a Hard, Netflix? Yes. There's a Netflix remake of it on like the Netflix kids section of a TV show, and it's so nostalgic, and it's pretty well done.
Okay, I hear what you're saying, and I might peruse over the weekend, but I do tend to shy away from children's TV stuff. I'm not even a big Disney fan, to be perfectly honest.
Nah, me neither, but I was so nuts on these books. Like, I had them all. I was in the Babysitter's Book Club.
Of course you are.
And I remember, like, the actual TV show used to be on a Saturday morning really early, and I'd get up and...
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
Yeah, so it's been... And it's quite nice how they've done it. I also think I see a lot of kids' TV from... I've got two nieces that are 6 and 9, and... It's so shit. So this is like a welcome. I'm like, oh, this is actually this good.
I'll watch this. Sure. What was it? We were stuck watching. Our friend's kid was over. Hey, Dougie.
Oh, see, we're past
that
stage.
Oh, man alive. Oofed. See, you parents out there stuck watching Peppa Pig and Hey, Dougie.
Fuck that.
God bless you. Every one of you. Anyway.
Right. We digress quite a lot there,
eh? We're only... Not even 10 minutes in. Buckle up, everybody. What are we like?
Right. Previously on the OC.
Bullet and Julie sitting in a tree. Kind of K-I-S-S-I-N-G. He's really into it. She's not.
Caitlin wants a da. That's essentially it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. That's exactly it. She is now in love with Seth because he had a dream that his spirit animal loves an otter, which is Seth's spirit animal. I feel that's pretty self-explanatory, right? Pretty that self-explanatory. Makes total sense. It makes total sense.
Moving on. And then we've got Taylor, who has her French husband's in back. He's written a book about their sex life. Ryan's declared his love, but she's now decided that she wants to be on her own. She needs to be herself. She needs to find herself, which is sensible, but we all know that that's not what's going to happen.
No. At this point in the show, before we've even started, the Taylor breaking up with Ryan is the only thing I think that is good and true and thorough in the last couple of episodes.
Yeah.
She's done it for the right reasons. She needs to, you know, work on herself, build herself up before she can be in a relationship with Ryan, who said, I don't love you right now, but I feel I could. Yes. I think that is good. Where this journey goes in this episode with Taylor, I just have a lot to say about it.
So, yeah, I guess that ties in quite nicely with her opening scene of Taylor spying on Ryan.
Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. And it's so... So Caitlin calls Taylor and you can kind of tell Taylor's acting like a weirdo and you're like, God, what's she doing? And yeah, she's like on the little balcony opposite the tackle place watching Ryan. And we find that out because the security guard comes up to her while she's on the phone to Caitlin and basically says to her, you've been loitering here for 7 hours with binoculars. Leave, please, right now.
7 hours. Like, it's wild. Absolutely wild.
We should not be so bored.
Yeah, and then he's, yeah. Oh. But yeah, Caitlin calls her and she's like, right, you've been away all day. And she's like, yeah, I'm just giving Ryan his space, which is clearly not. And then Caitlin says to her, well, I guess you're not going to Kirsten's 40th birthday party tonight. And she's just like, oh, no, don't give me any details. I'm not, like, I don't want to know anything about Ryan's life, which totally contradicts the stalking business.
Yeah, yeah. I've been doing some maths. Mm-hmm. Never a good thing. I've not written this down as well, so this could go horribly and embarrassingly wrong. Kirsten is turning 40. Mm-hmm. Seth is 18. Mm-hmm. She had Seth when she was 22. Mm-hmm. Probably got pregnant age 21, 22.
Yep.
Marissa, same age as Seth.
Yep.
But that would mean, because Julie had Marissa really young, probably like 16, 18?
Maybe.
Do you think? 18, let's say 18.
Yeah.
Which means Julie must be 3 or 4 years younger.
Oh my God, are you going to tell us that we're the same age as Julie Cooper? Fucking hell.
I mean, you might be. I'm still a couple of years off. But I am being led to believe that Julie Cooper is realistically 36, 37 in this show.
That's why.
I just want to let that sit with everybody for a little minute. I am 32 years old. And I have had no work done. And I look substantially younger than Julie Cooper. And that is not humble brag. That is honesty.
Yeah, you definitely do. I am 34 and I've had zero work done.
But
I
think you look younger than me. So
let's not go too far.
I just cannot. And it really annoys me when you see, like, we would have looked at Julie and Caitlin when we were younger. And not Caitlin, Julie and Kirsten when we were younger and thought, oh God, they look so old. Like, they're almost 40. Oh my God. And I'm like, are we just really young? Like, or do we act young for our age?
No.
It's just so weird.
Well, I've just looked up, Melinda Clark was born in 1969. So that must make her, do you know the mental thing there? Instead of actually trying to do the maths, I'm like, oh, well, my mum was born in 1965 and she's going to be, instead of just being like, okay, she's like, does that make her 52? Is that right?
Let's say with confidence, I don't have the brain power to figure that out today.
Right, so we'll say she's 52. If we've got it wrong, we're sorry, guys. Having a 52, I mean, she looks great, but she doesn't look 36.
She looks bloody phenomenal for like a 46-year-old. Yeah. She does not look 36.
No.
I refuse to believe our goddess, our queen, is 46.
No.
36.
36.
Bill Schnitzel. Anyway, yeah. Let's not lay in that too long. I'm just going to get sad about being old. Julie, 36-year-old Julie, is in the kitchen cooking, but she's cooking something that's apparently a bit shit because she's skint, because obviously she's not working with Kirsten anymore. She explains this to young Caitlin, but is interrupted because her phone goes and it's somebody at the end of the line being like, oh, are you still in for this Friday? And you can tell she's like gloriously excited, like she's glowing.
Who did you think it was?
For a second, I thought it was Spencer.
Me too. And I've seen the show and knew it was coming. But yeah, very Spencer vibes. Just because we're seeing a lot of him in the last couple of episodes.
Yeah. And also it's that kind of like a youthful, excited glow of like a sexy, sexy relationship. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't get vibes of seriousness.
Yeah.
She does say, I don't like sneaking around either and I miss you, which did make me think maybe it is more a bit serious.
Yeah.
But yeah, still definitely thought it was Spencer.
Right. Do you want to talk about the next bit? Because I'm so f-ing over this shit.
Let's just say it fast, say it quick, like an elastoplast. We're just going to rip it off. Shay is chanting, not really sure why, doing some kind of Chinese medicinal cultural appropriating bullshit. Sure.
That was me last week.
That's succinct. Summer comes out of the bathroom in a glorious pink fluffy dressing gown and is like, Shay, what the hell are you doing? What are you trying to do? What is going on? And he explains that he thinks he has a soulmate and he doesn't really know what to do, and she's like, why don't you just go and hang out with this person and see if you are actually compatible. I don't know why he didn't think of that before.
Yeah,
weird, right?
Oh, and it's just, he makes some comment as well, and this really pissed me off, where he basically says to Summer, like, I know I got you kicked out of school, etc., but you know I'd never do anything to intentionally hurt you. But it's like, I wouldn't, as long as it's, but if it benefits me, I will, i.e. I will make a move on your boyfriend if I think he's my soulmate.
Right?
She's like, weird. Shut up.
So weird.
So entitled.
This is also where we learn that the day after tomorrow is Groundhog Day, and she wants to free this Newport groundhog called Chuck.
Chuck.
Excellent name for a groundhog. Chuck. Yeah. Groundhog Day is not a thing in the UK, although we are all big Bill Murray fans, so yeah. You know, we get it. We get the reference. We've seen the film. All good.
Yeah.
If you've not seen the film, go and treat yourself. It's a joy.
In for a joy. But yes, we found that out, and we're then in the Cohen kitchen where Sandy, Ryan and Seth are sort of getting kind of ushered out the door, aren't they, by Kirsten. They're on their way to see some Korean film, I think, about a live octopus. Who knows?
About something or other.
But yeah, Kirsten's trying to, like, she's like, okay, gets them out. And then when they leave, she phones her doctor at, like, nighttime.
Private healthcare, babe.
Yeah. And then we also, this is where we learn that they're planning a surprise party for her as well, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you know what? We give Seth a hard time. I feel like I've said that so many times in this podcast, but we do. But he is very emotionally in tune because he says, like, oh, should we leave her? She seems a bit down. Like, is she all right? And Sandy, in his infinite wisdom, says, she's turning 40. That's not easy for a woman, even though she's as, like, beautiful as she is. Yeah. I guess that's nice. Yeah,
kind of nice.
I think. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Because it's Sandy, I feel like it is nice.
We'll give him the benefit of the doubt.
If anybody else said that, I'd be like, you pig.
Yep. But yeah, then we cut to the credits and then we have Seth waking up, some very nice orange bed sheets. But awaking from his slumber is ruined by Che's big creepy face.
I did enjoy the when he was like, is this a dream? And she's
a nightmare. It's a nightmare.
Unless this whole life is a dream. He's just always got something to say, doesn't it?
Life is not a dream, yeah.
He's got an answer for everything. Basically, she asks him loads of questions and is clearly getting on to the fact that he wants Seth to come and help him with the steal the groundhog plan.
Yep. So he's on a mission to find his soulmate and two birds with one stone. Save the groundhog as well.
If you were going to steal a groundhog, who would be top of your list to, like, enlist to come and help you? Because Seth Cohen wouldn't even make top five for me.
No, he definitely wouldn't. Help me steal a groundhog.
Of the OC characters, who would you?
Of the OC characters? Caitlin. Oh, definitely Caitlin.
Caitlin. So I think, like, Julie and or Caitlin, one and two, interchangeable, depending on, you know, the plan.
You'd have them both. Julie could distract. Caitlin could...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that'd be great. I also think Sandy would be good. He'd take a lot of persuading, but I think he'd get in on that in the end.
Definitely. But yeah, definitely not Seth. And then we cut to this scene where we have Caitlin and the twins who have hacked Julie's email and they are emailing Bullet, basically pretending to be Julie.
Before we get into all the issues around that, do you think they're purposely trying to make Caitlin look more like Marissa? Because this Baker Boy hat is very Marissa-esque. I'm sure she wore something like this in season one because she had a hat on. Was not a green one.
Yeah, I think she wore one when they went golfing as well. I can see the outfit in my head.
Because there was one where she's wearing like a white shirt, a knitted V-neck sleeveless thing. Like she's got her wee midriff out and she's wearing like jeans and the hat. I'm sure it was a green hat. Did not have like a big ugly thing in the back of it. I'm getting like Nam stuff.
Marissa's hats and Insta story. Oh, yeah. Stuff will do a bee this or that. Yeah, right. Good content.
Glorious. Sorted. Yeah, it's very apparent between, we mentioned it last week and I'm bringing it up again this week because I think they are.
Yeah, no, completely. But yeah, there's all sorts wrong with this email exchange. So the twins are saying she should write things such as two big handfuls of butt. I miss your butt. Love Julie Cooper. Just
but.
Yeah.
But do you ever watch Bob's Burgers?
No.
Okay, Bob's Burgers is excellent, and you should. But Tina, the eldest daughter, is obsessed with butts, and all I could think of was Tina just being like, butts, butts, butts.
Oh, I'll maybe watch and get the reference later.
It's okay, you don't have to. I will enjoy it for all it's worth on my own, it's okay.
I'm sure there are many listeners that will know exactly what you're talking about, pal. but yeah, basically, Caitlin wants her mum and Bullet together, and she's trying to impersonate her. Because she thinks Bullet can ultimately make Julie happy.
Probably not okay to do that, right?
Definitely
top
not.
Line, not definitely okay. Not.
But Ryan's in the pool house, sort of contemplating his life, and Sandy is trying to convince him to come to the mall to help get Kirsten a gift.
Yeah. And he kind of asks him, like, are you okay? And Ryan very adamantly is like, yeah, I'm totally fine. I've got plenty of other things to be in on with. It's not like I'm just sitting around missing her. And then the second that Sandy's away, he brings out the crap book. Oh,
Jesus. Yep.
It's like flicking through all these creepy pictures that bloody Taylor's taken of him.
Yeah. And he just makes him more miserable, surprisingly enough. We then go to, right, we've got all sorts of things to say about where she got this therapist's way of working. But at this point, we will just say that Taylor's as her therapist for her emotional addictions.
Yes. Therapists are good. Therapists are important. Mm-hmm. More people should go to therapy. They should be better available, particularly in the UK on the NHS. Don't even get me started on America.
Yeah.
But ultimately, therapists are good and important. Probably don't get one that you've like found in a journal that you think is good, because ultimately the therapist that you think is good for you is probably not the one that's good for you, would be my advice.
Yeah. Just don't get this therapist, that's all I'm saying.
This one feels pretty wild. But Taylor explains her situation and explains that she's particularly interested in this woman because she specialises in emotional addiction, and kind of sets up the fact that they're doing this time apart. And this is where Taylor admits to the fact that she's not low-key stalking him. She is hardcore, not okay, hun. The therapist really at that point should have intervened to be like, you're clearly not okay stalking him.
But yeah, so she's, it's very, very unhealthy. But at least she's taking actions to try it. Well, it looks like she's taking actions. We'll look how things escalate as the episode goes on. But yeah, at this point, she's trying to do something about it. We're then at the Roberts residence. Mm-hmm. And Julie's just taken it upon herself to punch some of the ugly paintings of Dr. Roberts.
Well, they did buy them together in Cabo, but I was also just like, yeah, but he probably still paid for them, babe. Don't think that means they're yours.
Then Caitlin sort of not so subtly slips Bullet into conversation, and she's like, oh, how are things? And Julie's like, oh, I've not seen him like since he went to Dubai. And Julie looks in like a bit of a panic, and Caitlin's like, oh, like, I think he thinks you're still together. And
Okies. Caitlin kind of leads the conversation in by being like, why are you selling stuff? Like, you're going out with a billionaire. Like, your boyfriend's a billionaire. And it's just so... Oh, man. I don't know. It's so... I just... Why would you... The audacity of writing this into a storyline is just insane. Like, absolutely insane. But Caitlin reminds Julie that Bullet is coming back today. And she also kind of accuses her, doesn't she, of cheating on Bullet. And Julie's just like, I can't cheat on Bullet. He's not my boyfriend. Like, and plus, that's none of your business.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
But the doorbell goes, some flowers arrive for Julie that Caitlin takes. And it says on them, see you tomorrow, miss you already. And Caitlin chucks them straight in the bin.
This pained me.
Such beautiful flowers.
We then see Kirsten, and she is at the doctor. And she's looking pretty uncomfortable. And could you see where this was going?
So she says to the doctor, I've been feeling weak, I've had nausea, I'm lightheaded. And the doctor's like, oh, you've not been drinking. No, of course I've not. Are you stressed? No. And that was the point that I was like, she's either going to be really, really sick, like dying sick, or she's pregnant, because they are the only two viable options for those ailments in a woman.
Imagine they'd written it in that she was like dying sick after Frank just pretended to be dying sick.
Oh my God. That would have been an excellent route for this to go down.
Yeah, I wonder if that ever
crossed
made the table.
Their minds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we've got Seth and Che trying to get this master plan to get the groundhog. Yeah, and Seth's like, look, does the groundhog really want saving? He just gets lots of carrots, he gets lots of attention. Yeah, and Che's a bit like, okay, maybe this guy isn't the one. But then Seth's like, right, cool, we'll do it. And they're back on track in their quest to be soulmates and to get the groundhog. This is just a lot of shit.
It's such a stupid storyline.
Sorry. This is an interesting storyline.
Do you not think groundhogs just look like really interesting texture-wise that you just want to touch them? Like, I don't imagine it's pretty soft, but I still want to touch it.
Yeah, in my head, they were much bigger.
I think they are quite big. I think they're like kind of like cat sized.
Yeah, that
they're
is
like
big,
pretty
though.
Chunky though. Yeah, they're like a badger, chunky.
Stephen showed me this video yesterday of a moose, like walking down like a road, and I think it must have been like Canada or something. And oh my god, it was like the hugest thing I've ever seen in my life. Like they had two cars next to it for scale. I was like, fucking hell! Like I had no idea. I would absolutely shit myself if I encountered one of them in the wild.
Yeah, because like the horse body part is pretty mm-hmm. huge, and then the horns are like massive.
Although did you see how brave I was on my Instagram before
touching
my phone
the
died?
Reindeer, was it a deer or a reindeer?
I think it was just a deer. I didn't touch it because I thought that might be a wee bit disrespectful, and also was a wee bit of a shite bag. But it was that we were at King's house, like on the way up to Glencoe, which is like infamous for seeing deer there. And we got out of the car and I was like, oh, so like got my camera thinking, but it just kept walking closer and closer like towards us. And I was like, fuck, I'm going to get like mauled by deer. And then, yeah, it was just sort of standing and like went, it was really sweet.
It was a cute pic as well. It was good. Yeah. When we were over in Arran, we drove into the field where our house is, and there was this massive horse, like a massive big Clydesdale thing. Like it was taller than Ali. It was a beast of a horse.
Taller than Ali? Holy shit.
Taller than Ali, and Ali is very tall. And I was just like, oh my God. Like, and I love horses. So I was like, oh my God, a horse. Like I didn't even put the handbrake in the car before jumping out the car. I was like straight out of there. And I went up to, you know, gave a wee stroke, look at the horse. And which is fine. Like I'm quite confident giving a horse a wee stroke. And then it just like galloped off. And I was like, oh my God, like how did it even get in here? We don't have horses in this field. So I kind of like followed it through the wee bit of wood that it came through. And it moved so fast. Obviously it's a horse. And I remember just standing in the woods being like, if that horse comes like running back through here at full pelt, I will be trampled. Like that I will be dead.
Absolutely terrifies me. Yeah, like I do, like, don't get me wrong, I love animals, but like I'm fucking terrified of large ones. Like
big ones are pretty
species.
Scary. Yeah, I hear you. Anyway, you could take a groundhog. I think you could take a groundhog.
I hope so. But yeah, we then cut to Bullet and Caitlin having a wee mm-hmm. chat, and he's like, I hope this isn't about duty-free booze. Which I thought was quite funny.
It was funny. I really enjoyed that he calls her Peanut.
Yeah, it's cute. I do like the chat with those guys. But we then find out that Bullet's going to propose. They're loving the proposals this season, huh?
Love a proposal. Love it. Yeah, he's decided after these emails, she is the girl for me. He's going to propose and Caitlin thinks he should.
It's all very weird, isn't it? That she's encouraging something that she's obviously been writing these sort of...
Yeah.
Sexually loaded emails to him.
But how does she not think at any point he's going to mention them to her?
Because she's Julie Cooper's daughter and she just goes with it and hopes for the best.
The consequence of the actions are not considered fair. Yep. Touché, my friend, touché. Taylor and Summer are gutting Taylor's room of all the Ryan stuff, like his toothpick and a valet ticket.
Yeah.
Oh. Weird. So weird. And Summer very rightly is like, if you like Ryan and Ryan likes you, ditch the therapist and figure it out together. I don't know if I've said quite rightly. That is definitely one route you could go down.
Yeah.
See, the more and more we hear about like how like obsessive and addictive Taylor's mm-hmm. personality is, the more I'm like, no, you should break up and sort yourself out.
Yeah. I think as well you forget though, it's the age of them, isn't it? Like a lot of this now, this behaviour wouldn't be normalised at any level, but... As teenagers, I know I definitely did some questionable things that I would never do as an adult when I was a teenager, and you're in the throes of love and passion, and you know, that you'd think, oh, that was crazy, I should just let that be, and yeah, everything would have been fine. So I guess they're young, but yeah, Summer does seem quite level-headed about it. But how much, like, do you not think Summer sort of taken a back seat recently? Like, I feel she's just sort of
coasting.
Yeah, like, I agree. So she almost feels like, from going from being obviously with Seth and Summer, Ryan and Marissa, and then they were always tied. I don't know, I feel it's been more like Taylor and Ryan heavy.
But it comes back to the point we were talking about recently, where I thought Seth and Summer were the main characters, and they're not. Yeah. The main character is Ryan.
Yeah.
And everybody else just circles around him. So it would make sense that Summer is the furthest away from that at the moment, with Seth and, yeah, with Seth and Taylor being closer to our son, Ryan.
Yeah. But I feel even Julie gets more time, you know? But I guess it's then the adult relationships again. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone loves Julie. Yeah. Why would you not write her into a storyline?
Totally. But I guess it's almost as if, oh, Summer went to college and got boring.
Yeah.
You know, but she obviously didn't.
Maybe they're writing into her character arc that she's like low-key depressed from being kicked out of Brown.
And her pal dying.
Oh yeah, that. That important big thing and that happened
dad,
in her life.
Her dad pissing off to Seattle.
Yeah. They don't treat Summer very well, do they?
No, her mum abandoned her as well, didn't she?
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. But yeah, she does seem quite sad, but disenfranchised with life. Yeah. But speaking of our main man, he catches up with, he meets Caitlin at the mall, and he's basically asked about Taylor, and yeah, Caitlin's like, yeah, she's been acting really weird.
Weirder than usual, to be weirder specific. Than usual,
even for her.
Yeah. But Caitlin's kind of like ducking and weaving around this like store on the pier, this kind of outdoor shopping mall bit, because she is meeting Bullet, because he has bought Julie the most expensive ring.
Yeah.
And she says, we need to talk about the proposal. And he wants to play a Persian love song, which I actually think is kind of cute. If he knows he is hopeless at love and he has spoken to someone, you know, he's culturally aware sometimes and willing to discover new experiences and adventures in life, I'm not mad at the Persian love song.
It just seems to throw money at anything and think it'll work.
Imagine having that kind of money.
I know, I suppose that would definitely, I'd be, yeah.
What a joy.
Yeah. But yeah, Caitlin's like, right, okay, I'll get on board with this, and I'll try and help you.
Yeah. Back to Shay and Seth, who are planning to break into the lobby of City Hall to steal the groundhog. Sure, Seth can't climb ropes, but Shay can, so Shay has brought a papoose for him, which I think my understanding of a papoose is like a little like kangaroo pouch, right?
Yeah, that you put a baby on in front of you.
Would that not be, I wish they'd kept that scene in. Would that not have been glorious to see? It would have been like Boris Johnson and his little, you know what I'm talking about, when he went and it, oh my god, so Boris Johnson, who sadly is the Prime Minister of the UK, did like a zip line, I think, fuck, over the Thames,
yeah. Oh god,
and he had like little he has like a hard hat on, a suit, a harness which is very bunched up in the crotch, and then he's holding two British, tiny British flags, in each one in each hand, and it looks insane. But that's what I'm imagining from this papoose situation. Okay, it's the same level of insanity.
I think I was confused because I thought you might have been referring to Boris Johnson with a papoose of one of his many children in it. And right, we need to move swiftly on.
Yes. This is not a political podcast.
No. Chase like pulled the blueprints for City Hall out his arse as well, which is quite impressive.
But pre-operation, they're going to go and get a snow cone. Sure.
Yeah.
Weird, but sure. Taylor's therapist is dropping off Taylor's stuff at Ryan's.
No therapist would do this.
No, unless you're, I mean, she could be paying him loads of money, but then her mum cut her off, didn't her? So how is she paying for this therapist?
Don't know. But yeah, so basically, the therapist gets out of the car, rings a bell to Ryan, gives him the box and is like, look, this is all Taylor's stuff. She can't have any contact with you. Meanwhile, Taylor's sitting in her convertible.
Keeking.
Like, yeah, she's right there. Like, I can see her. And she's like, no direct contact. And Ryan, rightly so, is like, this is mental, bearing in mind that she's been spying on him at work, etc. So he goes over to the car and tries to get through to her, and she's just like, oh.
Won't look at him.
Yeah, she won't look at him. But it's not a, like, don't even look at me. It's like a, they try to make it quite comical when it's just, it doesn't land properly.
It's not funny. Yeah, like, it's just not. Weird. And then even the fact that they're like, oh, no direct contact with him for 1 week. You're like, a week is nothing, man.
A week is nothing.
Like, no self-respecting therapist would prescribe no contact for 1 week. No. And he, rightly so, being confused at this situation, is like, are you breaking up with me? And she says via the therapist, trust me for a while longer. And he tries again to be like, we can work on it together. And she says, again through the therapist, goodbye, Ryan.
Yeah, and he's just like giving her these big doe eyes. And I'd just be like, yes, Ryan, let's work through it together. Bye, therapist. But no.
Bye.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're now back to bloody Mission Impossible.
I don't appreciate your tone, because I have very enthusiastically written, they've actually bloody made it to City Hall. I can't bloody believe it.
Oh,
you make
right.
a plan, you stick to it, you succeed, kind of, to part phase one.
Yeah, phase one. How does phase one end, though?
Yeah, they steal him, they go upstairs, they're on the roof. Shay realises he's left his ropes taking them into City Hall, so he has to go back and get them. Yeah. Seth is left standing holding the groundhog, like, on the roof, and then they realise the door that she had left open previously has now locked. So now they and Chuck are stuck on the roof.
Yes. Yeah, and they need to spend the night there, don't they?
They do. And they wake the next morning to Shay doing some very loud meditation.
Oh, screaming his head off.
He proclaims to Seth, like, we've now spent two nights together. Does that mean anything to you? And you can tell Seth is just like, nope.
No.
It means nothing to me. And then, obviously, security shows up.
Yep. And they are, yeah, taken away, imprisoned. And then we cut to the corn kitchen, and it's Kirsten's birthday.
Sandy's made her a little breakfast. It's cute. And she's like, oh, thanks, but I don't really feel like it.
Yeah, she's not hungry.
And he says, you're taking this too hard. You're more beautiful now than when we first met. And then she goes to say something to him. Mm-hmm. Sandy responds being like, look, soon Seth and Ryan will be out of here, and we can act like kids again. We can, you know, we have our lives back.
He's digging himself a hole here, isn't he?
Man, I know. And then Ryan butts in and is like, oh, sorry, I'm interrupting anything. And you can tell Kirsten's like, no, it's fine. Kirsten's phone goes. They have dinner at 8 p.m. The doctor needs to talk to her in person. They're drawing this out, aren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised nowadays if you got a text to confirm a positive pregnancy test.
You're pregnant. Woo.
Congratulations. Press.
Please notify everyone you've been in contact with. Let them know they're...
funny.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and there's also this, we've not mentioned it as yet, but there's when in the Sandy and Ryan chat sort of throughout the episode, Sandy's wanted to get, he's getting Kirsten this like mystery present.
Yeah, that he's really struggling to get locked in.
Yeah, he's still at this point got no luck with it. And then Caitlin manages to give Julie a call with this silly excuse that her appendix doesn't feel good, and this is to get Julie to rush home.
Yeah. And it's a very short scene. Yeah,
we are. I've not written much down, so we're back with Taylor and the therapist, aren't we?
Yeah, and they're walking through this new location outside City Hall, and she kind of explains to her that she doesn't feel proud, even though the therapist says she should feel proud. She just wanted to hold him, and the therapist reassures her and says, and you will, but first you need to take care of yourself. Yes, she needs to rush off because one of her clients is having a breakdown, and obviously the first person Taylor sees after her therapist leaves is Ryan and Sandy. And then she bumps into a person who happens to be wearing a groundhog suit.
You just know.
I wonder what's going to happen, Jane.
I know. Oh. Yeah, so back to the Roberts residence. Julie comes home and, yeah, you can imagine her surprise when Billet is there. And
I would also like to just point out, if your child or anyone you know phones you saying, I think my appendix has burst, get them in an Uber to the hospital immediately. Get if not, there. Phone an ambulance. Do not go home and investigate. Get them to the hospital and meet them there. Yeah. Jesus fucking Christ.
Second point. When planning to propose to someone, don't do it in the home of the person that proposed to her previously. When it didn't
oh my God,
out.
I didn't even think about that.
Like, what the fuck? You've got all the money in the world. You could have lured her to, oh mum, like I've got us a spa day or something, or you know, like so many other things she should have done.
Well, but they spent all that money renting City Hall for a location. They don't have money to do that now.
I suppose. But Caitlin cues the Persian love song and... Yeah, we get, I've not even written this down. He's basically just banging on about how much money he's got, everything they can do with all his money, all the things they have in common, which is also money. And Julie's just like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
But also, yeah. I think she's a bit enticed by all the mention of money.
Very true. Julie Cooper of season two would have jumped on this.
Yeah.
But she's grown. She's got a story arc, a character arc. She's, you know. Mm-hmm. basically, Caitlin says, isn't this great? And Julie has to turn around and be like, it's very nice. I guess I'm just surprised because I haven't spoken to you since you fucked off to Dubai. What is going on? What is happening here? And he says, no, before he has a chance to even mention the emails, Caitlin's like, look at the ring.
Oh, it's it's huge. It's what like ridiculous, isn't it?
I think that's exactly what she says.
That's what she says. I was like, why have I written this down? This is not a word in my vocabulary.
It's ridiculous. So it is ridiculous. And Billet says, what about all those emails? What emails? Julie's figured it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Billet doesn't seem to, though.
No. I think he would need it literally explained to him step by step.
Yeah. We then cut to Che phoning Summer. And he's like, look, we're in jail. It's now up to you to save this groundhog.
Don't worry about getting us out of jail. Just save Chuck.
Just save the groundhog. Just put yourself in danger again. I mean, the last time we tried to save some animals, look what happened. But hey.
I did enjoy that when he called, he said, the man caught me. That made me chuckle. That did make me laugh. And I love the fact that it's not even like she's like, no, I've learned from my past experience. I'm not going to do that. She says, fine, I'll see what I can do. Yeah. And then she also sees the groundhog suits.
To be fair, it's probably the most animated we've seen her in a while. But she pretends to be from like a publication and is trying to figure out who's going to be on the main stage and where everyone's going to be. And yeah, she wants a costume. And what we should also mention here is another, probably my favourite recurring character in this season, Daryl from like Thanksgiving.
In prison. I didn't realise it was the same
with
person.
The guy. Yeah. So yeah, that was cute.
Over to the Roberts. I suppose, would it be the Cooper? Cooper Roberts. You know what we mean.
The fancy gaff.
Exactly. Julie is confronting Caitlin in her room and explains to her there's more to relationships than money. And Caitlin kind of quite rightly in a way is like, look, I know he loves you and he'd make an amazing stepdad, which I just think like the guilt that is like placed upon that is
loaded, heavy.
Yeah, so heavy. But rightly, Julie's like, you need to tell him the truth. And Caitlin says, well, what are you going to say to him? And Julie's like, I don't know. I can't imagine how difficult that situation would be when you are financially in a really, really tight position. And there's a guy who you don't hate, who like is like nice enough. And also, I don't know if we've mentioned it often enough, a billionaire turns up being like, do you want to marry me? She married Caleb.
Yeah.
What's the difference, really? But it must be really difficult, especially since now she clearly has this other relationship that she's actually excited about. Mm-hmm. I think, like, I am not a parent. You're not a parent. I imagine that just must be such a difficult decision to be able to be like, you need to put your family first.
Yeah, it's tough. But yeah, she's sort of needs to think about it and see what's going to happen. Yeah. And then we see Kirsten coming back from her doctor's visit looking pretty distraught, and she gets a call from Julie about what's happened with Bullet. And Kirsten's just like, it's the way she's like, oh, I need your help. Oh,
by the way, happy birthday. We all know one of them, though. Oh, we all know that person.
Much. And she's just about to basically tell her who this mystery lover is. But Kirsten's just like, look, nah.
Yeah.
Can't deal with this right now, which is exactly what she should have done.
Yeah. Yes. Sandy's present is confirmed. It's coming through. It's happening. I don't have anything else written down for that.
Yeah. It's going to be at the Yacht Club in an hour. And then, yeah, we kind of quickly cut to Taylor, who has bumped a groundhog costume and is so weird, isn't it?
Like, the breathing.
Yeah.
Oh my God. The breathing. I can't handle it. It's like proper stereotypical stalking vibes that like...
Yeah. Oh, God.
Darth Vader style. Blah, blah, blah.
Gross.
This is insane. That's exactly what I've written down. This is insane. She creeps up in Sandy and Ryan in the groundhog suit, breathing like Darth Vader, and I didn't like it.
Yeah, you can hear them sort of chatting about her. And then Sandy goes to take a call, and you've got like kind of Ryan in the direct line of vision, and he sort of obviously senses a massive presence behind him. And he sort of like whips round, and she gets shocked, falls over, and yeah, the head falls off, and she's just lying in the grass like, fuck. And Ryan's just like, are you okay? And then she just runs away. It's bonkers. It's like insane TV.
It's really not okay. I don't want to be that guy, but stalking is actually a really serious issue.
If this was Ryan stalking Taylor.
Exactly. Like, that's, why is it comical because she's doing it? Like, it's not okay. Like, it's not okay. It's invasive. It's, you know, it's just not okay.
Yeah. If you put any of the sort of behavior that Taylor's sort of exhibited in the past few episodes on Ryan or on another man, it would be wild. You know, it would be funny. It'd be terrifying.
Yeah. 100%. 100%. Especially like when they're instigating these conversations about mental health and looking after yourself and getting help, and that people do have problems, and then they're just making a massive joke about it.
Yeah, they're making a total mockery.
It's so frustrating. It's so frustrating to watch. And I just think like treating an issue like this is something you just would not see nowadays, or I'd like to hope you wouldn't see nowadays.
So much.
Or if you did, they would get absolutely ripped to shreds.
Ripped for it. But yeah, we then cut to a sort of news report, don't we?
News update.
Yeah, and we find everything that's gone down with Newport Chuck.
Yeah, Summer's stolen the groundhog. Well, that's what we're led to believe. And someone has been brought into custody.
A woman in a groundhog suit, isn't it?
Yeah, and we see this on the TV in the prison cell. Mm-hmm. And she starts to tell Seth the frog otter story off the back of this news. And it gets interrupted as the groundhog person gets brought in. They take off their hat, head.
Who knows? Ghost,
like groundhog head.
Yeah.
And it turns out it's not Summer. It's a hot girl, and she falls instantly in love.
There we go.
Ta-da.
Yeah. Bye. Bye, Che. See you never.
The police officer comes to the door and is like, someone's posted your bail for Cohen and Cook. And obviously she is like, I'm not leaving until we're both free.
Shut up, Che.
I reckon this is the last episode you can say that. So get in as many as you can.
Yeah, I guess.
Say it loud, say it proud.
We have Sandy calling Kirsten to say, look, come to the Yacht Club, your presence there. And then a guy arrives to drive her to her husband.
Yeah. And then we cut back to Sandy hanging up the phone, Seth standing outside the prison and saying, hi, Dad, I hope I'm not late for Mum's party.
Yeah.
I see what they were trying to do there. But again, like, I feel like the comedy is just not landing in this episode.
Nah.
Like, I feel like the tone that he's saying it is, it's just not quite right. I couldn't tell you, like, I'm not a director. I couldn't tell you what he needs to do to make it right. Mm-hmm. But it just doesn't land
as
well.
It just doesn't land. No.
But that could be a really funny line. It could be a really funny line.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we've got, this mail truck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
They had sex in a mail truck one time. Why are they making... Do you think this is it? That's the only exciting sex they've ever had in their lives, and that's why they're making such a big deal about it.
Maybe. But apparently it's not the same mail truck as the one that they actually did the deed in. But it's the same model, and it turns out that his actual gift is an around the world first class plane tickets for the two of them. And you're just like, oh, fuck, this is devastating.
Yeah, it really is. Just you and me. you and me. And Kirsten takes him aside and is like, I need to talk to you in private. And this is, she sits him down. She's like, I want you to be seated for this. And he says, are you sick? And she's like, yes, but only in the morning. Sandy, we're having a baby.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think where to begin with my real... There's so many issues. First of all, women getting pregnant over the age of 35 is not as easy as that.
Yeah, like, definitely not.
Definitely not. The second thing on top of that is why children are great. Mm-hmm. They really are. But if you have an 18-year-old child and you're at that stage in your life where you're just about getting your life back in a way, why would they not be having a conversation about getting rid of it? And I don't understand why they're so scared to go near that. It was the same when Summer got pregnant.
Yep, there wasn't any chat at all, was there?
But then it got me thinking, why was it okay for Teresa to get an abortion and not for Summer or Kirsten to get an abortion? Is it that poor people or people with no partner or people with no... education or people with no
it's just I don't know, it's
okay for them to have an abortion, but for rich people, have partners, they can't. It's not even a conversation.
No, it definitely, I mean, you could definitely go down the clash route there,
but it's it's so frustrating because it's a woman's right to choose. It's a woman's right to choose, and the simple fact they don't even have that conversation really ruins this episode for me.
It's mind-boggling, isn't it? It really is.
Stupid. But anyway, Sandy's over the moon, obviously. We're having a baby. I love you. Good, because there's going to be a lot more of me to love. Nice little fat joke there, just to top it all off.
Yeah, you can imagine.
Cherry on the top of the bloody shit cake.
Yeah, Kirsten will also be a tiny pregnant person, wouldn't she?
Ugh,
she anyway, but when we go into the actual party, we've got Caitlin apologising for the emails to Bulich, and he's just a bit like, oh, they were a little bit frisky, Caitlin. Fucking awkward, man.
It's so awkward.
But Julie's kind of looking on, isn't she, and thinking, oh man, this is cute. And although she sort of turns the proposal down, she's like, look, I am willing to date Bulich and see where things go.
Maybe I can grow to love you.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not.
It's miserable, isn't it?
It's not a line I would ever want to hear.
No.
Ever. Yeah. But Caitlin hugs her and seems very happy by this response. Ryan and Seth are then told about the pregnancy thing. Again, like, how many weeks pregnant is she? Why would you start telling people at this point? Yeah. I just have so many. Anyway, I don't even want to get into it. I'm too annoyed.
Yeah. But they're all just kind of, oh my God, that's all they say, really.
Yeah. And he says, it makes me getting arrested seem trivial. You got what?
Yeah. And Ryan, I think, is the only one that actually congratulates her. So, yeah, bit of an anticlimax there. And then Seth and Ryan are going to, well, Seth's going to go and get Summer, and Ryan's going to go and try and speak to Taylor.
Yeah. Over to Summer's bedroom. She is there giving Shay and Hippie Girl, whose name I don't know, the groundhog, because basically she stole it, but the Hippie Girl took the fall. But the Hippie Girl and Shay are going to go and set it free in its natural habitat.
Yeah, and they ended up like getting away because the sort of sheriff loves animals too.
Love the cause. Yeah.
Although, did you notice what, I don't know, were you a Lost fan, Heather? Did you watch Lost when it was on?
No. Actually, I did watch it, but I feel it was one of those things I just put on to fall asleep to. I didn't really watch it.
Oh, man, I loved it. But when, just basically when Seth says goodbye to Che, he's like, oh, it's like seeing another life. Brother, and that's like such a line from, there's like a character, a Scottish character like Desmond in Lost, and it was always like, seeing another life, brother. And I was like, oh, I wonder if that's a Lost reference or
maybe. All right, that was about the similar time, wasn't
it? Yeah.
Interesting.
Love that show.
Ryan is calling Taylor.
Right, this is fucking weird, man.
Yeah. Ryan is calling Taylor and is heavy breathing down the phone, asking her what she's wearing.
This is so problematic.
So problematic. Stalking is not okay. Stalking is not a joke. Like, and this is not okay.
Yeah, she basically says that that's the most romantic thing anyone has ever done for her. She's married a French guy who literally wrote poetry and prose about her. Like, and a guy breathing down the phone like a creep. Well, whatever gets you off. We're not kink shaming, but just when you put it into the whole picture of everything that's going on with Taylor, it's worrying.
It is worrying. I just think this would have been so much more interesting if her and Ryan had broken up, had actually broken up.
Yeah.
And I just, maybe it's because I'm old.
maybe we're.
But I'm just like, this is so, the trivialising of mental health is not okay.
Mm-mm.
And it's the fact they're like, the space thing's over, the whole stalking thing we're never going to mention again, because we've come to the end of this, like, two episodes where we've briefly skirted an actually really big and important conversation and topic.
They just basically have a wee kiss, don't they? And then everything's well and cool. They don't need space.
Nope.
They're all good. And then we've got Julie phoning the mystery man.
Yeah. Explaining that she's back with Billet. It's for the best. It's the best thing for my family. Goodbye, Frank.
Dun, dun, dun.
I was quite surprised.
Yeah. Even after all those longing looks in the previous episodes.
Yeah. I thought he was way up the road. I didn't think they could afford Hercules for another episode.
Yeah, well, there we go.
Perfectly honest.
Another episode, and he's also got a belter ring. So, yeah.
Smashing ring as well.
We twist end it. So, I'm just thinking that Julie Cooper had Caleb, Jimmy proposing again. Bullet proposing again, Frank
and,
proposing.
And what's these chops? Summer's dad.
Five proposals.
Five proposals in one TV
over four
show.
Four seasons.
That's wild. I mean, she is a babe.
You can see why, yeah.
Well, onwards. I'd like to not be as angry next episode.
Yeah.
Please. Please, in fact. I know it came out however long ago, but I'd like to not be as angry next week, please.
No, don't think it's too much to ask, pal.
Here, do you know what I was actually fucking livid about today? It's kind of groundhog-esque, but squirrels. Mm-hmm. I ran home from work, humble brag. Got in, went round to our wee back garden. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Our festoon lighting hasn't come on. Now, I think I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. The fucking squirrels chewed through our festoon cable.
No.
So like half of our festoon lighting went out. And I was like, fucking little arseholes, man. The worst thing was we watched him do it and we're like, oh, look, he's picked up the bauble. Oh, that's cute. And then we just watched him like chew through it like a fucking maniac. And I was like, squirrels are dicks, man. Anyway,
they're fucking came home, huge.
They've chewed through another part of the fucking festoon lighting. So the whole thing's out now. And I'm like, squirrels are scum. They really are. I hate them. I hate them so much. They're just rats with cuter outfits and I hate them.
Rant over, Heather.
Rant over. I feel better.
I feel better. Yeah, you actually,
I feel cleansed.
You look visibly like less stressed. You're just, like, maybe slumped in your chair, like sliding down, like, right.
Bedtime. Thanks for giving me that release, guys.
Oh, man. Right. Shall we do our listener of the week?
We shall.
Yeah. Okay. You're going to go for it?
Well, you're going to say them. So
right, I'll see you sing.
I'll take the burden of singing this week. Ba-da-ba-da-ba, listener of the week. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba. Ba-da-ba-da-ba-da-ba. Ba-ba-ba-da-ba-da-ba. I think that's the first week I've done it and not like croaked out in the bottom notes. I think, you know, four CDs. I'm finally getting there.
Love it. Have a rant and then have a song.
That'd be great. Maybe I need to do that before karaoke.
Yeah. Just go like, absolutely.
I don't think that would save me. There's not much that could save me.
Go to one of those like
Rage rooms. Someone recommended them on Instagram.
Nice. I'm going to a karaoke room next week and I'm so excited.
Oh, are you? What are you going to sing?
Oh, everything.
Top favourite. What's your go-to?
Mine's are a bit out there. I like to sing Perfect by Fairground Attraction.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good... I'm trying to think, what are mother karaoke songs? This is ridiculous. I feel like putting the spot here and I'm like, oh my gosh. I like a wee bit of Steeler's Wheels stuck in the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Natalie Imbruglia torn. I mean, it's not the cheeriest. But yeah, we'll literally sing.
You got a big sexy guitar solo in the middle as well.
Yeah.
I am normally Kate Nash Foundations.
Oh,
kind of gal.
Love it. My friend Marie sings that a lot.
Gives
love
me a good opportunity to whip out my full London accent, which any excuse.
I am so bitter.
Yeah, precisely. And then I really want to try Shania Twain, that don't impress me much, but I think I need to have like a more of a private audience with like people I know and trust before I like whip it out.
But that's
in
what
public.
We're doing. We basically, if you ever
a practice
to, like,
sesh.
Yeah, well, we've got a room at like Supercube in town. So I think there's like maybe 10 of us going, and we're going like Halloween themes. Thought it'd be a nice night out. But like me and my friend Marie have been known to like just book a room for like 4 hours and just practice our songs. It's fucking amazing. People just bring you wine. It's class.
I once tried to do Beyonce's Love on Top in karaoke.
That is high.
And then my friend, who's an actual singer, came over like halfway through the second chorus and just took the microphone off me. It was so brutal. They wouldn't even let me finish. They were like, no, we're all done here.
Jesus, you guys put a bit of reverb on you or something? That's rude.
I know.
Oh, right. Sorry, we've totally hijacked this poor listen of the week.
I'm not singing it again.
But our listener of the week this week goes out to Emma Marie.
Hello, Emma Marie.
She says, hi, you two. I've been having a tough time lately, but your show has brought me so much joy and so many laughs. I'm in Chile, Canada, and bundling up and taking my dog out for our evening walk has become the highlight of my day. So there for all the cosy nights in and autumn walks.
Oh, yeah.
I'll be walking around laughing out loud to myself whilst listening to your show and your jokes with my earpods in and get lots of funny looks. The fact that anyone finds this funny, I find quite alarming, but like it's the same thing happens when I'm listening to other podcasts.
It's the classic suffering of being a podcast lover.
Yeah. Thank you for being so funny and entertaining. I wish I had words to express how meaningful this has been for me the past few months. This show has really helped me out and I'm so happy I found your show.
Oh, thanks. Oh,
that is so nice.
That is beautifully wonderful. I think we've talked about this before. I started this podcast when I was very sad when I started this podcast. And it has brought me a lot of joy. So the fact that me being sad and this podcast and the people that are listening to it has brought me joy, and the thought that our podcast brings other people joy is just lovely.
Yeah, it really is. And when Heather and Kerry started this podcast, similarly went through a bit of a rough time, and I like just looked forward to it so much every week. So yeah, it is. It's a little hug, isn't it?
Yeah. And it's so cliche, but like, Jane, I actually love recording these.
Oh, yeah, it's so fun.
A great time for the computer to freeze.
Yeah. You actually love recording them. And
I do. Like, I feel like even if I'm having a shit day, it like really turns my day around. Like, it's
totally.
Just... What a silly show. What a silly time. We talked about it when Kirsten got in touch, who we don't know is in Australia and listened on her wedding day.
Yeah, that was our pictures were so beautiful.
Oh my god, yeah, thanks for those pics. And then like Emma Marie messaging us from Canada again, someone we don't know. Like it's really special, I think, this little community that we have formed.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, guys.
But yeah, on that note, we should probably call it a week and for it go.
We should. I've got a skincare routine to do and I've got some teeth to floss.
Oh.
Wild night, indeed.
Okay, pal. We'll see you next week.
Have a good week. Bye.
Bye.